It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning and welcome to this Thursday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. As you can tell, I am not Sandy Rios, but I'm glad to fill in for Sandy this morning. My name is Walker Wildman, and I am host of the weekend show Exposing Washington here on the American Family Radio Network. I also co-host and sit in with my dad, Tim Wildman, on Today's Issues each weekday, so you might hear my voice there. But nonetheless, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, this Thursday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. It's so good to be with you, and I'm honored, as always, to sit in for Sandy Rios. This is my second time hosting, guest hosting for Sandy Rios. So glad to be here. It's an honor, and I take it very seriously. I really do, because it's a very important show. Sandy does an excellent job, and I feel it. A high responsibility to try to fill her shoes. I'll maybe do half that at best, but we'll see how it goes. To start off the show, we got a lot of news to talk about. The Supreme Court being at the top of the list, that seems to be dominating the news the past week or two. But before we get into a lot of the major headlines of the day, I want to take our attention to God's Word, and I want to read from Psalm 1. You know, if you're ever wondering or looking for something to read in Scripture, something easy to understand, something to take note from for your life, Psalms, it seems to be the way to go. So Psalm 1, we're reading from, 6 verses in the first chapter of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Verse 6 there. That's from God's Word, Psalm 1 this morning. I would encourage you to read it. Also, but many of you have heard that Justice Kennedy is retiring. This news broke just around 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock East Coast time yesterday. And this is good news for Christians. And you say, well, why is that, Walker? Well, we might see Roe versus Wade overturned in our lifetime. And I mean that quite literally. Within the next few years, we could see one of the greatest stains on our country wiped away. Roe versus Wade, which essentially legalized abortion over 40 years ago, 1973, I believe. But Justice Anthony Kennedy announced he's retiring. This has been rumoring for it seems like a year or two now, and it almost became a joke whether he would retire or not. But Justice Kennedy did send a letter to President Trump, went to the Oval Office yesterday, and at 81 years old, he is retiring. And before we move on to who he might be replaced with and how this is going to play out, I want to play clip one here. This is President Trump kind of teasing at who he will appoint. Let's listen.
Who will you pick to replace him, sir?
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Well, we have obviously numerous people. We have a list of 25 people that I actually had during my election. I had to 20, and as you know, I added 5 a little while ago. We have a very excellent list of great talented, highly educated, highly intelligent, hopefully tremendous people. I think the list is very outstanding. When I was running, I put down a list of 20 people because, not being a politician, I think people wanted to hear what some of my choices may be, and it was pretty effective. And I think you see the kind of quality that we're looking at when you look at that list. But I added five additional people to the list. So it will be somebody from that list. So we have now boiled it down to about 25 people.
Well, there you have it. President Trump basically saying who he will appoint. And he didn't say them by name, but he said someone from the list. And, you know, this is spectacular. The fact that a politician, well, President Trump's not really a politician, but he's a holding political office, that he commits to a list of 20 to 25 people of which he has to stick to, otherwise he's a liar. And this is what caused a lot of us to vote for him back in 2016. He put out this list. It was a brilliant idea. He put out this list of roughly, you know, 10 to 15 jurists who he thought would be great Supreme Court justices. And he said, you know, not only is this like a list of recommendations, he said, I'm going to pick someone from this list. And that is absolutely very encouraging. And we don't have to doubt who President Trump will pick. And I know a lot of well-respected organizations have been through the list and vetted them, and they are excellent, excellent choices. But the left is completely melting down over this announcement of Justice Kennedy retiring. And, you know, Justice Kennedy is not some, you know, originalist, strict constitutionalist who has been a conservative hero for 30 years. His record's kind of wishy-washy. And I have various opinions on his rulings, some not very good. But the left has absolutely gone after him as if he was a Donald Trump 2.0, because they don't like that Justice Kennedy is retiring and allowing President Trump to appoint someone to his position. Just a couple of, this is from, let's see, the Daily Caller. DailyCaller.com yesterday afternoon. The headline is Liberal Meltdown Over Justice Kennedy Retirement. And essentially this story goes through and quotes a lot of well-known people, if you will, a lot of Hollywood elites, and how they lashed out on Twitter following this announcement. And I'm just going to go through here and read some of these tweets. I'm going to skip the ones that are explicit because this is family radio. But a fellow by the name of Andrew Cohen, and I don't know all the Hollywood stars and the pop stars, so I don't even know who the guy is, but he apparently seems to be somebody important. But here's what he said on Twitter. For starters, this is quote, for starters, abortion rights are more imperiled now than at any time since Roe v. Wade, to which I would say amen. And there is no reason to think there won't be a rollback of gay rights either with Kennedy gone. So that's one person who's getting shaky over the fact that Roe versus Wade might be overturned. Another person that you might know their name, Reverend Al Sharpton, he said, we have no choice but to organize, strategize, vote, and act. Ambivalent attitudes are not an option. All civil and human rights are at stake. What side are you on? Question mark. You know what? I would agree with him. All civil and human rights are at stake. The civil and human rights of the millions of babies that our country has slaughtered over the last 40 years. Their civil and human rights are at stake. So Reverend Al Sharpton and I completely agree on that. One more I'll read here on the third page of this news article. This is from a fellow by the name of Jamie O'Grady. He said, it's one gut punch after another right now, folks. And while Kennedy has been decidedly conservative of late, his replacement is sure to be worse by an order of magnitude. Well, I would remind Jamie that it's Kennedy that gave us Obergefell. Kennedy gave us essentially same-sex marriage legalization, if you will, whatever role the court has in making law, which they have none. But it was Kennedy who gave us that. So Anthony Kennedy has been no conservative hero. But moving on here, in the Senate, as you know, that's where these nominees go for confirmation. Senator Mitch McConnell said that a vote will be held in the fall for President Trump's nominee. And I'm a little hesitant for the Republicans to wait until the fall to vote on a nominee. Because the more time you give the left to organize, the more chaotic this whole process is going to be. Because many of you know that in the Senate, Republicans hold a very, very slim majority. We hold, I say we, Republicans hold 51 seats. And Democrats hold essentially 49, and then there's two independents, but they vote with the Democrats on everything, so they're not really independent. So 51-49, and one of the senators of the 51, one of the Republican senators, is in Arizona, and his name is John McCain. Now, I'm not going after John McCain's health and his situation. He is in a very sad situation. He has terminal cancer. But from an objective standpoint, I do not agree with Senator McCain continuing to hold his vote if he cannot exercise his right to vote. The reason I say that is because with our country in such an important crossroads on issues like abortion and everything else, Senator McCain has not been in Washington, D.C. since December of 2017. And the reason that's important is because he holds a very key vote. He holds a very key vote. And so I would really like if Senator McCain would respectfully retire and the Senate would have a ceremony for him and he would be well recognized, and then someone else could be appointed or run for his seat in a special election. Because it's not helping our country if a senator holds a vote in their pocket and they never use it. So that puts us down to 50 Republican senators, which would mean that we cannot lose any Republican senators in the confirmation process. And as a matter of fact, we would need Vice President Mike Pence to come over to the Senate and cast the tie-breaking vote. But I think the Senate should go ahead and confirm a judge because, as I mentioned, the longer you give George Soros and Antifa and everyone else who likes to burn down city blocks because they don't like what's going on in our country, the longer you give them to organize, the more chaotic it's going to be. But another question is, will we have any defections? You know, will Senator Susan Collins of Maine, will she, you know, back out and say, oh, I don't support this nominee? Will Jeff Flake, another one from Arizona, will he say, well, you know, we just need bipartisanship, so we need the Democrats on board for this nominee? Who knows? We can't really afford to lose any Republican senators in the confirmation process. But President Trump said, I'm gonna find somebody very soon. And I think he will. I think you're looking at a week or two before President Trump nominates someone else to the Supreme Court. All right, folks, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. We'll be back after the break. We're gonna talk about why our country needs to become more civil when it comes to our discourse. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki Addison of Erin the Addisons on Urban Family Talk. Family is so important to everything. I mean, think about it. Right after God created Adam, he made family by creating Eve as his wife.
we'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference this summer. We'll have a full slate of experts to help encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family.
Our speakers include Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Schuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, and more.
We'll even be there.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference will be Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. Come help us fight back against the enemy's direct attack on marriage and family. That's the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference put on by Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper. They aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
And I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
There's probably a waitress just like Michelle Bozeman in your local diner. A 50-year-old grandma, 3 kids, 7 grandkids, on her feet all day, filling coffee cups and serving burgers. Michelle's been a waitress for more than 20 years now, working at Ramblin' Jack's Ribeye in Napa Vine, Washington. The other day, she served a couple passing through town, real polite folks, inquisitive, nothing terribly out of the ordinary. They paid their bill and went on their way. But it wasn't until much later that Michelle realized the couple left a rather generous tip on their $44 check, $3,000. They also left a note telling the waitress to use some of the money to help someone else. And that's exactly what she did, sharing her good fortune with coworkers and her family, thanks to the generosity of strangers. Passing through an American town one Sunday evening, I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, great to be back. Second segment of Sandy Rios in the morning. I am the guest host, Walker Wildman. I'm not sure why I'm talking in third person, but my name is Walker Wildman nonetheless. Hey, before I move on to a couple more topics, I want to finish up the Supreme Court discussion. And the last thing I want to say, since Washington, D.C. might be listening, I hope they are. We have a station up there. Here's my recommendation for Republicans. If we can't get a good nominee through because of defections on behalf of Senate Republicans, then we should wait until the new Congress is in place. The reason I say that is because we do not, as a country, need to settle for less on something that should be given. We do not need to settle for less, and this is very ironic, but that's what happened with Anthony Kennedy. I was not alive, but after reading about what occurred back in the 80s, I believe, under Ronald Reagan, a man by the name of Robert Bork, I think is his name, Robert Bork, B-O-R-K, he was the original nominee for President Reagan. Well, the Democrats got nasty. This was really the beginning of this nasty politics game of personal character destruction. And the Senate Democrats blocked Robert Bork from being the next Supreme Court Justice under Ronald Reagan. Well, then Ronald Reagan, of course, the next person on the list was Anthony Kennedy. And as I mentioned, we know how that went on as far as conservative and constitutional cases before the Supreme Court, especially on religious liberty and other things. So that didn't go so well. So basically what I'm saying is we don't need to allow ourselves to be borked again. We need to hold firm, even if it means waiting until we have more Republican senators after the November election. But moving on here, I've written an article. It's not published yet, but it will be in the coming days. But it's titled A Call to Civility. And I figured instead of writing about how I think, you know, I'm right and the left is wrong, which I do sometimes, and I don't think that's wrong. But I wrote about how we all just need to calm down. And because if you listen to the rhetoric that's going on in our country, it's not very good. And it's not just not good for some people, it's not good for all of us. Because the kind of rhetoric that's going on, calling people Nazis, calling people racist, calling people homophobes, calling people bigots, all this name-calling and nastiness is not good for the unity and the future of our country. And so I wrote an article about that, yet to be published. But to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about, and many of you know what I'm talking about, I'm going to play clip two here. And this is the Republican Party, the GOP, they put together this ad, which was a brilliant ad, one of the best ads they put together. And this is all of the hostility that's going on in our country. Let's listen.
A few years ago, ideas that we talked about were thought to be fringe ideas, radical ideas, extremist ideas. Those ideas are now mainstream.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***.
What's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
One way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy, so please bring on the recession.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Tell me that doesn't send chills down your spine. And that was not manufactured clips. That was actual clips. And it wasn't of Joe Bob over in Nevada who's a nobody. That was of high-level public officials basically threatening those who support President Trump. And if I know Sandy talked about this early in the week, but we've started to see these incidents. I believe they're very organized incidents of these mobsters basically going after verbally and sometimes physically these Republican public officials. We saw where Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Friday night, I believe, this past Friday night, tried to go to dinner in Virginia at a small restaurant with her family. And the owner came all the way from her house. One of the workers called the manager, or the owner, and said, "Hey, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is here. Do you want us to serve her or not?" And the owner said, "Well, I'm on my way." The owner went to the back of the restaurant and held a vote amongst employees on who all wanted to kick Sarah Huckabee Sanders out of the restaurant. And most people agreed. She's got to go. So the owner approached Sarah Huckabee Sanders, asked her to leave, and of course Sarah Sanders, the respectful woman she is, she left. But that's one example, and that was a more nice if you're gonna, if there's anything nice about kicking somebody out of your restaurant because you don't like their politics. That was the nice way to do it, to just politely approach her, ask her to leave, et cetera, et cetera. Which I do hold that the restaurant owner has the right to deny Sarah Huckabee Sanders service. And so does Jack Phillips have the right to deny the homosexual, quote, couple the cake for their so-called wedding. So if we want to be fair here, I agree that the Red Hen owner has the absolute right as the sole proprietor of that business to turn down service to anyone. And I would argue for any reason. But the left obviously doesn't apply the same rules that they apply to us Christians and conservatives. Moving on here, the Department of Homeland Security secretary was approached by protesters and mobsters in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. Many of you have heard about this. Kirstjen Nielsen, the DHS secretary, is trying to have dinner. And how these folks got in this restaurant and got this close to her, that is a really good question, and that might be a question for her security detail. But these folks weren't like across the street or, you know, 50 yards away. They were standing over her dinner table. This is a cabinet official. Now, talk about a lapse in security. They should have never got that close to her. And it wasn't one or two. It was like 10 in a restaurant, in a private entity. And they're swarming her like bees. That was it. That I just watched the video and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way they should get that close to her, because let's just say one of them's got a gun. There's going to be casualties. And so the security for these public officials has been way too laxed. Another point, the Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao, her husband, Senator Mitch McConnell, they were leaving a speaking engagement, and they were approached by like five or six men right at the back of their SUV. And this is another cabinet official and the top leader in the Senate. He may be like top five in line for the presidency should a tragedy occur. And these six men, these, once again, mobsters, approach the cabinet secretary, the transportation secretary, and Senator McConnell, shouting at them, saying, you know, how dare you lock up children, blah, blah, blah. And they should have never gotten that close. Because what if it's a group of 100? You cannot, there was two security detail members. That right there, there should be something done about that. Let me just say that. But changing subjects here on an encouraging note. This week, the Supreme Court dealt a sharp defeat. I'm reading from a headline here from the LA Times. The Supreme Court deals a sharp defeat to public employee unions, banning mandatory fees. And what this had to do with, to boil it down for all of us to understand, what this had to do with is whether public government employees had to pay mandatory dues to the unions. And you might ask, well, Walker, isn't it America? Why would anyone have to pay union dues? Well, there was a Supreme Court ruling back in the 70s, I believe, in 1977, which forced public employees to pay these union dues. Just like you get Social Security drawn out of your check, you get Medicaid or Medicare drawn out of your check, so on and so forth, and you get federal income taxes drawn out. They were drawing out union dues that would go directly to these unions. And the problem arose, which I first don't agree with that premise. I don't care what the union, I don't care if the union's giving the money back. They should not, a private entity should not be allowed to draw mandatory funds from people's paychecks. And so the Supreme Court dealt a blow saying, no, that's not legal, basically is what they said. And this is also a blow to the Democratic Party, because guess where the union was giving their money to? No, they weren't giving it to conservatives, and I wouldn't accept it if they were. They were giving it to Democrats. Almost across the board, the unions were giving this money, these dues, they were giving campaign contributions to Democrats. So talk about crony corporatism, that was it. But thankfully, the Supreme Court, 5-4, sided with the National, let me see the name here. I think it's the National Right to Work Foundation. The Supreme Court sided with them and said that workers, individuals, should not be forced to pay union dues. So that's a win for the American worker. It's a win for the American worker and a blow to the Democratic coffers. Another encouraging news story, many of you might have seen this, but in the past few days, June 27th is the date of the headline. This is from FoxNews.com. Ivanka Trump donates $50,000 to Texas megachurch to help migrant children. And I'm going to change that headline up myself. Ivanka Trump donates $50,000 to Texas megachurch to help illegal immigrant children. And this is Pastor Jack Graham of Prestonwood Baptist Church. I've heard a lot of good things about Pastor Jack Graham. Don't know him personally. But Ivanka Trump, this just shows how big of a heart those of us who are conservatives or might call ourselves Christians, I believe Ivanka's a Jew, but it just shows that folks that are Republicans and conservatives have way bigger hearts than the left tries to paint us to have. And so Ivanka Trump donated $50,000. And I think that is a great thing. This is my personal opinion. I think that is a great thing that Pastor Jack Graham and his church are doing. And that is, folks, the children have been brought in by adults illegally into our country. They have broken our laws. They're criminals. And the pastor there at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas, they are ministering to and helping provide needs to those who are in detention facilities in Texas. Just like a lot of our local churches have what they call prison ministry, where you'll go and minister to and talk to those in jail. My church has that. They're doing something similar there in Plano, Texas. And, you know, you see the left outraged about, you know, we're separating families, children shouldn't be put in detention facilities, blah, 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 blah. But where are they? They're nowhere to be found. They're up in Washington, D.C. in their million-dollar condos, going to their fancy dinners paid for by lobbyists, and the Christians are down in Texas helping the children who have been brought across our border illegally. So kudos to Pastor Jack Graham and those down in Plano. And many other churches are doing that too. He's not the only one. Another news story that I want to talk about, on a similar note, but I guess you could call this a victory. This headline is from the Washington Examiner. The U.S. Congress, the House side of the Congress, considered, quote, the largest amnesty bill in history yesterday. It would have added 2.2 million citizens to our country through amnesty. That's more people than live in the Houston proper area. Houston, Texas, that is, I think, according to this article. But if the bill were enacted, it would be the largest amnesty in more than 30 years. That's the quote there. But the House roundly rejected it. And basically what this bill did was it funded $25 billion of border wall and gave amnesty to 2.2 million people. Well, guess how many Democrats voted for it? Hardly any. Because Democrats don't want a problem, don't want to solve the problem. And that's really a shame. Democrats could have given amnesty to 2.2 illegal immigrants, and they voted it down yesterday. All right, folks, third segment of Sandy Rios in the Morning coming up. I'm Walker Wildman. We'll talk in a few minutes.
If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. the Henrico County, Virginia Public School Administrators held a ceremony called Career and Technical Letter of Intent Signing Day. It was a celebration of students who've earned industry-based certifications during high school, who are now entering the workforce upon graduation. It drew the attention of Dirty Jobs host Mike Rowe, who celebrated the event on social media, saying, "This is the way forward. No attempt to close the skills gap will ever succeed until or unless we celebrate those who are willing to learn an in-demand skill."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
The AFA Journal covers critical contemporary issues that American families care about. Here's Rusty Benson.
Number Your Days. It's basically about the stewardship of our time here on earth in light of eternity, and it's particularly aimed at parents. I think it's a where the rubber meets the road topic. Hopefully it'll be a perspective-keeping article for our parents.
Sign up for a free one-year subscription to the AFA Journal at afajournal.org.
Why does AFA keep harping on the dangers of the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why? It's because we've looked into the eyes of the mother of a teen suicide victim. Patrice Bright was mom to a normal, happy 14-year-old cheerleader dealing with the challenges any teenager faces. But her outlook on life was apparently darkened after she binge-watched season one of 13 Reasons Why. Anna Bright chose to deal with her temporary teen problems with the permanent act of suicide. Several other teens and young adults have made the same choice after watching this show, which glorifies suicide. The American Family Association and others have pointed out the dangers of the program to Netflix. But, apparently motivated by money, Netflix has just released season two. Our hope is to save teen lives by getting Netflix to pull the series before another tragedy occurs. You can learn more and sign the 13 Reasons Why petition at afa.net.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Hallelujah! The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday affirmed the president's authority to exercise his judgment just as his predecessors have done in barring entry to foreigners deemed too dangerous to admit. It's alarming that four justices rejected not only past practice, but what Congress and the Constitution have clearly authorized, and common sense dictates in this regard. Writing for the majority, though, Chief Justice John Roberts reversed similar nonsense from lower courts. He had thus effectively cleared the way for President Trump to adopt a recommendation with respect to the vetting of such aliens offered by the Center for Security Policy and six prominent national security experts in a friend of the court brief. Just as adherence to Nazism and communism were deemed to be grounds for denying entry in the past, adherence to Sharia supremacism should be today. We can't afford to import more jihadists. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. My name is Walker Wildman. I'm guest hosting for Sandy Rios this morning. And it's an honor to be here. Also an honor to introduce our next guest, our first guest of the show. And that is Mickey Addison of Urban Family Talk and Airing the Addisons. Many of you have heard Mickey's voice on American Family Radio. Mickey, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning, Walker. How are you?
Doing well. You know, I'm not usually up this early. Well, by now I'm up because I got to be at work in 15 minutes usually.
Yeah.
But I got up about 5:30 this morning. And I'm sure you're used to it because you and your husband Will.
Late.
I know you and your husband Will host a show each morning. But
that's
it's
right.
Good to be up with you this morning, Mickey. Good to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Appreciate your work and everything that you're doing. You know, we are on the receiving end of so many who have gone before us, Walker, who have stood in the gap, who have shown up when the moment called for it. And so we're actually in some good company here, and we're able to actually do our jobs because of those who warred against the pervasive cultural norms of the day to stand on biblical truth. So anyway, Amen. It's good for us to kind of take our place standing with them.
Amen. Thank you, Mickey. Well, a topic I want to talk to you about, and this is one of the most important topics in our country and has been for a long time, mm-hmm. and that is marriage, family, and life. And we all know, we look at the problems in our country, and you know this firsthand, Mickey, the problems in our country are, they play themselves out in the political realm, but at the core, they're spiritual, and they have to do with the breakdown of the family as God designed it.
Oh,
and so,
man.
That being said, Mickey, we're not just complaining about it. We are offering solutions to it, and that brings me to talk about, to ask you about the Urban Family Communications Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Oh, I'm happy to. And you said that so well. You know, just when we look at what is going on in this country, we are looking at a moral decline that is really driven by a spiritual departure where you see people turning away from truth and turning to a lie. So here is the question before I get into why we're doing what we're doing under the umbrella of American Family Association. We've always been on the front lines for over four decades. I used to say that the AFA has been standing on the front lines for our listeners. But what I realize increasingly is that we've been standing on the front lines with our listeners. Our listeners have shown up. Mm-hmm. Our listeners are signing petitions. They are called to action because they realize what is at stake, that this generation is always fighting for the next generation. And let me say this very clearly so that people understand where I'm going with this. There has never been a time in nearly 2,000 years that the gospel of Jesus Christ has existed in safety. And I want people to think about that. Every generation has had to fight to ensure that the gospel got to the next generation intact. Now, we have enjoyed times of peace. We have enjoyed times of flourishing. And certainly in the United States of America, we have enjoyed wonderful times of peace and flourishing. But we must not mistake that for the gospel existing in peace. There have always been people who have had to know the word of God and who have had to contend for the faith. I want to just raise this question hypothetically, and then I'm actually going to answer this question. What are some of the pervasive thoughts of the day that we, as the body of Christ, are warring against? Well, I've listed some of them, and I want to share them with you this morning. Some of the thoughts that we war against: God's view and design of marriage is obsolete, oppressive, even offensive. This is postmodern thought. We are warring against the thought that family is what we make it and that it has no reason or practical design. We are warring against the pervasive thought that life is a choice. Children are a nuisance to be avoided. The church is in danger in our generation of retreating, Walker. As we look at what's going on, the question is, will the church show up? Will we maintain the truth and the integrity of the gospel to make sure that it gets intact to the next generation? We're indoctrinated and we don't even know it. Mm-hmm. Within the church, we are saying things, and I know that you keep up with this and our listeners keep up with this, so they know what's going on. Within the church, you have people who are saying, you know what? I just can't worship with you because of the color of your skin. You know, I need a safe space. I don't know. I'm triggered when I hear you talk. So in the church, there are conversations about what the body of Christ truly is. Something is wrong. Our children these days are being led like lambs to the slaughter as they are daily sent off to be indoctrinated. And you know what? As parents, sometimes we say, our kids are missionaries. We say our kids are evangelists. They are taking the gospel to these schools where they are being indoctrinated, but they're standing against it. And then if you press those parents, you will find that their kids, though they call them missionaries, though they call them evangelists, they are ill-equipped to even answer basic fundamental questions about our faith. So how are they evangelists? How are they missionaries when they don't even know the truth that you think they espouse? So now in 21st century America, Christians are finding ourselves at that showing up moment. We have always had this moment. You look at the history of the church, there has always been a moment where a person is upholding the truth and warring against someone who wants to malign it, someone who wants to alter it. And we are in that moment right now. And so our response to that is to put together a conference that will look at all of these key issues, marriage, family, and life, and respond to the culture. We are doing something that has not been done before, and we're so excited about it. So many families have already registered. We have already close to 150 people registered. Mm-hmm. That does not include the kids. We're offering a conference within a conference where there is an apologetics track for children. So if you come to this conference, which, by the way, we have priced it for your attendance. It's $35 per person. Your kids are free with your attendance. Our kids don't know the truth that we say they believe.
Right.
So what we want to do is equip our kids so that they can stand in their generation. So there is an apologetics course for kids while parents are attending this conference. We have gone to great lengths to make sure that all of these hotbed issues get covered, that we're talking about how to shore up the family, how to ready us for this fight that we are in right now. And so anyway, people can learn more about it and get registered at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Amen, amen. August 17th and August 18th of this year, 2018, here in Tupelo, Mississippi at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, August 17th and 18th, that is again. And what's the website one more time, Mickey?
UrbanFamilyTalk.com, UrbanFamilyTalk.com. You can see who our list of speakers are. You can get informed and share this information and pray about whether or not the Lord wants you to attend.
Amen. Thank you, Mickey. God bless you and God bless your work.
God bless you, Walker. Thanks.
All right. There you have it, folks. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference here in Tupelo, Mississippi, hosted by Urban Family Talk and the American Family Association in mid-August. Hey, I'm going to try to get a few calls here. Here's the number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Try to get two or three calls before the show's over. And what we'll talk about, what I would like for you to talk about, is your opinion on the likelihood of Roe versus Wade being overturned and how this might play out with the nominee, the next nominee to the Supreme Court. How hostile do you think the left will be? And so let's talk about that. 888-589-8840. Glad to hear your opinions. And if you missed Mickey's website, urbanfamilytalk.com, you can view their marriage and life, marriage, family, and life conference there taking place in mid-August. And a couple of news headlines before we go to the phone. This is from foxnews.com. North Korea continues construction of nuclear research facility despite agreement to, quote, denuclearize. And that is a report that is out from an organization called 38 North, and they specialize in analyzing the North Korean regime. But I just want to say, if that's true, if North Korea is still developing nuclear weapons in the midst of talks with the U.S., that is not good. And it's not good, not just politically, but it's not good for our country. So my advice to President Trump would be is to be very careful who you trust when you're negotiating with North Korea, because I do not trust the North Korean dictator with anything. And so President Trump needs to be very careful that we are not snookered into a deal like the Iran deal that is absolutely an embarrassment to our country. We're going to hit the phone lines. Rebecca in Kentucky. Rebecca, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, Walker. Good morning. My comment, it has to do with the Supreme Court and the decision, Roe versus Wade. And I am learning the Constitution. I hate to say that I've not known it. I've taken it for granted. I'm learning the Constitution. I'm learning how things work. And it's my understanding that the judges do not make law, and that abortion, same as the gay marriage, was all determined by, like, case law, judges' rulings. And we are a constitutional republic based upon Congress making laws, and we are not a kingdom. And so the way that they carried this out, it's almost judges in a kingdom handing down rulings.
Yeah.
And the breaking of God's law renders death. And so there, I would just say, and in my comment, there is a day of reckoning coming with the Almighty. And we must remember that this is not law. This is corrupt and this is wicked and perverse. Mm-hmm. And the Almighty will judge this nation. We have 50 plus million baby's bloods on the hands of our nation. So how can we be at peace with God? So we must uphold his law. And God bless you, Walker, and you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Rebecca from Kentucky, very good comments there. She's exactly right. Courts do not make law. They interpret and figure out how to apply law. So if you look in the federal statutes, you will find nowhere that abortion is somehow legal. That only comes through these rogue judges in black robes who have no business ruling on half the things they rule on. But we'll move on. David in Louisiana. David, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Yeah, you spoke of the nomination of Robert Bork earlier, and I don't know if you realize, but Mr. Ted Kennedy himself was the one who made allegations of sexual misconduct against Robert Bork's nomination.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Chappaquiddick himself. You know,
yeah.
And I also like to make comment that with this Supreme Court decision to remove fees from non-union members,
mm-hmm.
you know, you realize they call this the fair share fee. You know, under Jimmy Carter, you know, and
yeah.
we're looking again at the ploy of Democrats.
Mm.
You know, it's totally unbelievable. You know how what the tactics they use.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good thoughts there, David, and thank you for calling in. You know, let's change it from fair share to forced share. It's forced sharing of your money, and it's essentially another tax, these union dues that were forced, but thanks to God, and I mean that seriously, that our Supreme Court ruled against that. Joe in Texas, last call for the day. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, Walker. You know, I really... And this might sound weird. I'm a very conservative person, but I do not think that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned until we make it unfathomable to even think about aborting a baby. Until that happens in the American consciousness, I don't see it being overturned, just honestly.
Yeah.
I do see it going down into the states as a states' rights issue, for the states to decide, and I would be okay with that because I think when you put it into individual states, people would be more inclined to say, not in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Joe. I appreciate that call. Very good thoughts there, Joe. And I agree completely with you. These states do need to decide, and I believe overwhelmingly the states would decide against abortion. You would have California and New York, unfortunately. You know, and my instinct is we need to make it illegal across the board because we're murdering innocent children. But you're right in the fact that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, in quotes, then it would go back to the states from a legal perspective. But thank you, folks, for listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. My name is Walker Wildman. I've been sitting in for Sandy Rios. Great calls today, great content. Glad to have Mickey Addison join me. Have a blessed Friday tomorrow. Have a blessed Thursday today. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio. Faith, family.